Yes, it's a ways away, I know. August 29th is a long way away. But hopefully it's here before you know it. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game. And for those of us, like, if you're like me, and everybody's got their sport, right? Everybody's got their number one sport. AT's an NBA guy. You're an NFL guy, Hugh. Everybody's got their number one thing. For me, it's college football. That is my number one sport. And now I have to sit here and wait for long time until August 29th. Thursday, August the 29th is a long way away for me before the season really begins. You said the other day that we have spring ball. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I thought, you know what? This year's spring ball is going to be interesting because you got so many guys moving around. We're going to have to be talking about, you know, how does Justin Fields look in that spring game at Ohio State? Suddenly I'm going to be paying attention to that Ohio State spring game. I want to see how he does. Because now anymore, Hugh, they televise those spring games live on television. I mean, Big Ten Network carries most of
the
Big Ten games.
Yeah, and most people watch them. And, I'll tune into a few just to see where he is as far as his, his development as a young quarterback goes. Because the biggest thing about it is, you know, you looked at it this year, and I know that people like to point out what he did in high school, but there was something there at Georgia where they didn't feel comfortable enough, I guess, in mm-hmm. certain situations to put him out there. And this is not me knocking the young man. That's not what I'm doing. What I'm saying is this. If you're in a situation, I go back to the LSU game where arguably Jake Fromm had his worst game as a Bulldog this year. I would probably say that one, and maybe I would put in the Alabama game. Maybe I throw that one in there. Two games that he had that were the worst possible games that he had this season. You would think that with a quarterback of his ability, Justin Fields' ability, that there would have been an opportunity for him just to see what he could do, put him in there for more than a handful of plays.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something there that didn't click. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens at Ohio State and if that was the case here at Georgia.
Yeah, it was very interesting to see how he was handled, especially in the bowl game, which we don't have to go back over. It just was kind of bizarre. It just was weird. I mean, you let him practice. He's going to practice, and you're not going to play him. And when you could have used him, I don't know. I don't really understand all of what was going on. All I know is he's now at Ohio State, and his attorney, Tom Mars, who is was the attorney, or I guess still is, for a number of the Ole Miss players who wanted to leave after the debacle of what happened with Hugh Freeze at Ole Miss, including Shea Patterson, who transferred to Michigan and then applied for immediate eligibility in Michigan and was granted the waiver. Fields' attorney, same guy, says that he believes that Fields will get this waiver to go to Ohio State based largely on the complaint against the baseball player who used the racial slur at him at the Georgia game, and it may turn out that that's something that redounds to his benefit, even though obviously you never would think that something like that would. Me, Hugh, by and large, I don't believe in waivers. I don't think coaches have to get waivers. I don't understand why players do. That's just me. No other student in any other walk of life in college campus has to get a waiver to transfer schools and do what they want to do. No other student, just the athletes. It's not like you're a great trombone player in the band and you want to leave Georgia and go play in the band at Tennessee. You need to be granted a waiver to do that. You just transfer and play in the band, right? I mean, so why athletes are different, I have no idea.
John, you know the answer to this question. It's big business, man. It's big business. And these athletes are commodities, so well sought after commodities. And you don't want nobody to get your commodity and somebody else to benefit from something that you've had. That bottom line, that's why it makes it so hard for players to transfer. Yeah, because they don't want, they want you to commit to that school, and if you want to leave, that's your punishment for leaving us. You lose a year, your eligibility.
It's exactly that. That's the correct word. They're being punished, and I think unfairly, grossly unfairly. But we'll set that debate aside for a second. But anyway, the point is, we're waiting to see how long it will take. I believe Justin Fields will be granted his waiver. He will play for Ohio State this year. The question is, I mentioned the spring game, and now I think, will it be in time for the spring game? That I can't say. He may not be granted a waiver until summertime. So he may not play in the spring game. It may just be Tate Martell and whoever is behind Tate Martell. And so we'll see what happens with that. Now, where will Jalen Hurts? Jalen Hurts doesn't need no waiver. Jalen Hurts has graduated. Jalen Hurts can go wherever he wants and play immediately upon that arrival. So he had to put his name in the portal last night, which he did. And now we're getting odds on where Jalen Hurts will wind up, Hugh. There are newspapers in Miami, in the Miami area, and newspapers in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that are openly, the papers, not just fans on blogs, but the newspapers in town that are begging, all right, that's the wrong word, that are campaigning openly to get Jalen Hurts to come to schools in their area. The Miami papers want him to go down and play for Manny Diaz with the Hurricanes, the Dallas-Fort Worth papers, especially the Fort Worth paper, saying come to TCU and play for Gary Patterson at TCU. He is from Texas. He could go home to Texas, but they're campaigning, and now odds have been placed in the sports books on where Jalen Hurts is going to land. And at the top are TCU and Houston, that he's going to go home. Then there's another kind of level where Maryland, because remember, Mike Locksley, the offensive coordinator from Alabama, is now the head coach at Maryland, that Maryland could be in the mix. And Maryland's quarterbacking situation last year was not good. They had a freshman last year who really struggled. I mean, really struggled. So Maryland could use a starting quarterback. Also on the list are teams like Florida State and UCLA with Chip Kelly.
He's from Texas, correct, if
Houston,
I'm not mistaken?
Yes, Houston.
Maybe he might want to go to the Houston Cougars. Yeah, maybe he want to go home.
Right. You got a new coach in Dana
Horvilleson. You know, maybe his mom might want him to be, baby, come closer to home. Maybe that's the case. You never know.
Yeah,
I said Alabama State. I would love to see a quarterback of his caliber go to HBCU. I know that probably won't happen because all these other big schools are going to throw their name in the hat. And they're going to, you know, sweeten the pot, if you will. I mean, you could take that to mean whatever you want it to mean. I'm not implicating anybody in anything. I'm just saying it might sweeten the pot a little bit more than those other schools will. But it would be nice to see that. It would really be nice to see him like go to a Texas Southern or a Prairie View or something like that. But no, that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, you want that big stage. Now, Tennessee is also on the list but on a number of sports books. And think about this reason why. Jeremy Pruitt knew, obviously, Jalen Hurts when he was a coach at Alabama, so he's got a relationship with him, even though Pruitt was a defensive coach. He certainly knows Jalen fairly well. Jim Chaney's the new offensive coordinator. He may want somebody that has the skill set of a Jalen Hurts. But I will be really disappointed. This is me speaking. I'm not an Alabama fan. I'm not a Tennessee fan. But I would be really disappointed in Jalen if he went to another SEC school, because one of the reasons I have – great respect for him is the fact that he stayed, he was able to do what he did in the SEC game, and he remained loyal to his school, and that says something to me about the man. Don't go to a rival. Don't go to Auburn. Don't go to Tennessee. Go if you want to, go home to Houston, but don't go to the SEC.
See, I hear what you're saying. Even though you're not an Alabama fan, I get it. I get where you're coming from. I don't think that he's going to do that. But, again, John, if a school in the SEC – sweetens the pot for him and makes it a deal, I'm pretty sure that people are still looking at him, even if he goes only there for a year. They're still looking at him as an Alabama man. I mean, because that's what his degree says. You have to do – I think that if he has aspirations to make it to the next level and say LSU fits what he could potentially do with their personnel that they have there that could help project him and catapult him to that next level, I don't have a problem with that. I really don't. Because I understand college loyalty and all the other stuff, and I don't see him doing that. But if that's the only school that's going to put me in a position to become successful and become a productive citizen, I don't have a problem with that. And, I mean, I just don't. I mean, I get it, the school loyalty and people probably feeling some kind of way about him. But at the end of the day, it's about trying to get to the next level. And if LSU has the personnel that's going to get me to the next level, then I have to do what I have to do.
And think about all the teams of the SEC that could use a quarterback, especially a veteran quarterback who has the reputation of Jalen Hurts and the ability to win. He's proven he can win. I mean, Florida and Tennessee, we're talking about big schools. I mean, Florida still needs a quarterback. Tennessee probably could use a quarterback. Auburn could use a quarterback. But he can't go to Auburn or Tennessee or arch rival. Well, he could, I guess. Mississippi State could use a quarterback. I mean, we're talking about big schools here. They could use quarterbacks, and I'm sure he's being courted because my understanding of how this portal, you have to understand this portal that Justin Fields entered, that Luke Ford, the tight end from Georgia, entered, that Jalen Hurts is in, it contains, I don't know how many players, I think I heard 30, 40 transfer players, and they go into the portal, and once they enter the portal and their name pops on the portal, it's a closed portal. In other words, only schools have access to it. Once they log into the portal and see who has, you know, applied for the portal and been approved for the portal, when that happens, my understanding is, Hugh, that once they're approved of the portal, anybody can call you and start to recruit you.
I think he's going to stay in Alabama. I just have this feeling. I think he's going to stay in Alabama. And somebody just tweeted me saying, no, he's probably going to go to Auburn. It's going to be interesting. Like and somebody else just hit me up, said Jab Johns said they're working on him at Alabama State. It's going to be interesting because I'm pretty sure, John, that there are a lot of schools in the local in that area that are blowing his phone up. His dad and mom probably can't field the phone call.
Right.
They probably got an answering service, taking calls, trying to figure it out, and trying to figure out what's the best position for him. Because I would venture to say that if he's going through all this and he's trying to do all this, he's trying to get to the next level. So he's going to look at a school that has all the complements, receivers, running back.
Line.
Yeah, all of that could potentially or it might be a school where I'm assuming he could, you know, the RPO is kind of big in the NFL nowadays, where he has an ability to throw the ball, show him that he can throw the ball a little bit, a wide open offense. So it's going to be interesting to see for him how many schools are courting him. And hopefully we'll find out, like, in the next couple of days if we get some feedback on some of the schools that kind of reached out to him.
Yeah, I got to believe he's going to Houston. I mean, if you ask me right now, I think he's going home. You got Dana Holgorsen, who, you know, what did he build at West Virginia in all the years that he was there, leaving West Virginia to drop down from a Power 5 school to a non-Power 5 school, and he did
so. See, that to you, and that's like a step down. I totally get that, because it is. I'm not about to sit here and try to pretend like, you know, it's not. Going from Alabama to anywhere else, it will probably be a culture change, a culture shock.
Mm-hmm.
No question about that. But he's looking at it like, he doesn't really have to go to class. Only thing he's doing,
right.
He's there for what, 3 months?
Yeah.
3 months.
Right, he didn't have to go to class.
He doesn't have to go to class. He's going to football practice. He's trying to get to the next level. So how much, like, he's a hired gun. Mm-hmm. Like, bottom line, he's a hired gun.
Absolutely.
He has a degree from the University of Alabama. He's a hired gun. He's going to come in. He doesn't even have to know his offensive coordinator's name. He don't even have to know his teammate's name. Because he's probably going to go there, go to practice, and jump in his car or go back to his apartment and chill out. That's it. He'll probably work. He'll probably get a job. He'll probably intern somewhere and get a job and just go to practice every day at quarterback and know enough names so that on game day he can call their names out and get the ball to them. That's it. Hey, man, catch the ball. I'm trying to make it to the next level. You need to be helping me out because I'm helping you out. So, yeah, that's all he got
to
do.
You need to help me out because I'm helping you out right now by giving you, if you win, $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
napkin. Yeah, it's napkin. N-A-P-K-I-N, napkin. Napkin to 72881, napkin to 72881. Message data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. Visit 99thegame.com for details. Napkin to 72881. $1,000 on the line for Napkin, N-A-P-K-I-N, to 72881. We're talking about some of the quarterbacks because a lot of quarterbacks are making news. Kyler Murray, the news is out this morning that the Oakland A's now expect Kyler Murray will throw his name into the hat for the NFL draft. And what does that mean?
That's a bad move. I do. I think that's a bad move for the young fella.
You know, how high will he go? I got to believe off that Heisman that the Kyler Murray becomes a legitimate. Everybody thought that Dwayne Haskins was the number one quarterback to go off the board. Jacksonville or the Giants, top five quarterback to go off the board. If you're Jacksonville, if you're the Giants, do you suddenly say, whoa, slow your roll about Dwayne Haskins. Let's take a look at Kyler Murray because I might, depending on the kind of offense that you want to run, I would certainly, because Kyler Murray strikes you as a new version, a modern-day version. He's almost the exact same as Russell Wilson, if you think about it. Great baseball player, and Russell Wilson could have played Major League Baseball, was a great baseball. It's why Russell Wilson left NC State, because Tom O'Brien, the coach at NC State, wouldn't let him play baseball, and he went to Wisconsin so he could play baseball his senior year because he didn't know if he wanted to play baseball or football when he got out of college. That's why he left. And Russell Wilson was top 10, top first-round baseball pick. And so you have a situation, interestingly enough, Justin Fields has a little bit of that going too because he wanted to play baseball at Georgia. And after the incident from the baseball player, he didn't want to play for the baseball at Georgia. So he's going to go play baseball at Ohio State. But back to Kyler Murray. Hugh, I don't know what's going to happen here. Do you think, based on what you've seen of Kyler Murray, do you think he could be a really good professional quarterback?
I think that he'll have an opportunity to be. The thing about young quarterbacks, John, is this. You get that first year where it's an adjustment period. But you have to be willing as a young quarterback to put in that extra time. Because that first year, you know, say, for instance, like Lamar Jackson. The first year, you know, he made a lot of plays with his legs. We saw towards the end of the season how he started to come around throwing the football a little bit. We also saw in the playoffs how he struggled throwing the football in certain key situations. That comes from – in order to get past that and become a better quarterback – that comes with a lot of film study. That comes with a lot of sitting around with Marty Morningwig and breaking down plays and trying to understand defenses and philosophies and seeing what teams are trying to do for you. That comes with film study. That comes with giving up a lot of your time to be an elite quarterback. We always hear stories about Peyton Manning, watching film in the offseason and guys like that. That's what it takes to be the next level quarterback. The first year is the year that you fool around in the NFL. You know, you get your feet wet or whatever. The ones that separate themselves are the ones that put in that extra work. Say like a Russell Wilson and guys like that. You might have a Russell Wilson skill set, but do you have a Russell Wilson work ethic? That's the biggest issue.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, a lot of guys don't want to put that work in and don't become those kind of guys because Drew Brees, coming out of college, for example, just to follow you up on that, was considered a highly touted quarterback. But let's not forget, Drew Brees was taken as a second rounder for a reason. That was because of his size. Because he's not the biggest guy in the world. They list him at 6 foot. I don't think he's 6 foot, but that's okay. Whatever. And because his arm is, it's okay. It was never great, but he was able to make, yeah, he could move around a little bit. He was had the ability to keep his eyes downfield. But what made Drew Brees was he decided once when he got to San Diego to play for the Chargers at first, or certainly a little bit later in his career after he ended up in New Orleans, to become such a student of the game that he blossomed into this quarterback. I don't know. Nobody had any anticipation that Drew Brees, when he left the Chargers, when Nick Saban turned Drew Brees down with the Dolphins, and that's what happened. When Nick Saban was head coach of the Dolphins, he passed on Drew Brees, and a trade for Drew Brees said, nah, you know. How much does football change if Nick Saban says yes to Drew Brees in Miami?
Yeah, but you can also say how good of a quarterback would Drew Brees be if Coach Saban was his coach?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that you never
right.
know, man.
You don't know. You're right.
Just like you saying, Tom Brady, you don't know how great Tom Brady could be if he wasn't with Bill Belichick.
And Brady was a sixth-round pick. When Brady was picked, I was like, that's stiff from Michigan? So this Justin Fields story, I've got one more thing I want to say about this because the other part of this story today, there's
say it on the other side. We got to go.
Okay. I'm past time. All right. All right. Well, I'll say it after the break here, after CBS Sportsman and Boomer Esiason.
It's coming Saturday, January 26th at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs. Register for free now and you might win a grand. Sign up at 929thegame.com/GameBowl. The third annual Game Bowl Paper Football Championship. From Sports Radio, 929 The Game.
If you're just getting into your car and beginning your daily grind, or if you're going to be in your car throughout the rest of the morning here, I do want to tell you that we'll reward you in the 9 o'clock hour. Some interesting things I'm sure will come out of an interview that we'll do with Brian Billick of the NFL Network, former NFL head coach, about his thoughts about the divisional round weekend in the NFL playoffs. And then also in the 9 o'clock hour, Alex Anthopoulos, general manager of the Braves, will join Hugh and I live. And we'll chop up a little about what's going on in the Hot Stove League and what the Braves might be doing next. That'll be in the 9 o'clock hour. For now, we're still talking about, and I didn't get a chance to finish it, and I do want to mention to you, in regards to all the chatter about quarterbacks, that we have a conversation going on our Twitter, at 929TheGame, and on Facebook about where you think Jalen Hurts will end up as a quarterback, as a grad transfer next season. And I responded by saying, I think odds are he's going to go back home to Texas, to Houston or TCU, but he could go to any of 20 schools. The only thing that the only thing that would surprise me is if he goes to another school in the SEC only because of his loyalty to Alabama. If he goes to another school in the SEC, I'll say, okay.
Oh, but again, he's loyal to Alabama because Alabama's on that piece of paper that he got when he crossed that stage. He's going to always be a member of the Tide. I mean, to me, he's going there to put it like this, John. He's look at it as him going to get on the job training for his next or interning. He's being an intern at say or he's going to undergrad at not undergrad, but he's going
post-grad.
To get his yeah. at, say, whatever school, Auburn, whatever. Because it's funny, everybody's chiming in on why wouldn't he go here? Or why, like somebody said, Texas A&M, Oklahoma. The great part about him is he can go to school wherever he wants to go. Like, that's it. He's going there, and he's going to be there for all the 3 months. He's going to go to spring ball. He could probably go to spring ball, fly back home, chill out, and just be there when practice starts. Living in the dorm, if that's what he chooses to do, and just chill out. That's it.
You know, in all the discussion this week about Trevor Lawrence and whether he would be the number one pick in the NFL draft, were he to come out, and of course he can't, were he to come out right now as a true freshman, would he be the number one pick in the NFL draft? The answer to that is probably yes. And all the discussion about where Jalen Hurts is going to go to school, and now about Kyler Murray, you know, and whether he's going to enter the NFL draft, with which the A's said last night they expect Kyler Murray is going to go to the NFL draft. And again, I want to reiterate to you as a Falcons fan, that is very good news for the Falcons, because that drops another player down, because Kyler Murray will go. He may go in front of Dwayne Haskins at quarterback, and that means two quarterbacks will go, and that pushes another defensive tackle down the list towards you at number 14. So that's good news for you. And then it just proves again how quarterback, elite quarterback at the high school, college, and NFL level, that particular position in that particular sport is the most compelling position in all of sports anywhere, in at least in our country, in the United States. I mean, nothing more compelling than an elite quarterbacks, especially at the college and NFL level, to talk about, because we're all fascinated by it. Because, Hugh, and you can speak to this, I have said for a long time that I believe that playing quarterback at an elite level in the NFL is the most difficult job in team sports in the world. There cannot be anything harder to do well than that. It's that difficult to do well.
It's tough. It's tough. It's tough to be a quarterback in the NFL. There's no question about it. And some guys aren't cut out to do that. They're not. So it's one of those things where, you know, you look at it, and you have to find somebody that's cut from that right kind of cloth that can get it done.
You used a word that, and we were talking about this with Justin Fields. And again, Trevor Lawrence, Jalen Hurts, Kyler Murray, now Justin Fields. We've been mentioning to you that Justin's got an attorney and they're trying to appeal and get the waiver done early, and we'll see how long that takes. But the idea that he has to go through this waiver process to begin with, and the word was thrown out, punishment. And I said, you know, that's kind of like the perfect word to me. I really believe that it's grossly unfair, to put it mildly, that these athletes, these student athletes, are forced to have to beg, as they did way back in the day. It used to be you couldn't transfer at all, okay? And then there was a basketball player, a great basketball player named Connie Hawkins, who wanted to go to the NBA early. He had to apply for hardship and had to have the courts rule in his favor. I want one of these quarterbacks, one of these star players, to go to court if they have to try to get rid of this waiver. I want one of these quarterbacks to go to court to see if they can't force the NFL into a situation where, if you're ready to go to the league, maybe like Trevor Lawrence after your freshman year, you ought to be able to go to the league. Now, the courts have ruled against these players in the past when this has been tried. But I think they ought to try again, see what kind of a ruling they can get. Do you believe, Hugh, that players are ready, like Trevor Lawrence, physically and mentally, for the rigors of the NFL after their freshman year?
The NFL says no. And I tend to believe him. 19 years old, John, to be the franchise of an NFL team, and let's say if he goes to, say if Kansas City didn't have the quarterback that they had, Patrick Mahomes, and he went there. Even that's a smaller market team. To be a 19-year-old quarterback in the NFL. And say Kansas City, we don't even talk about New York or anywhere like that. I don't think his little mind could take it. Like, seriously, like you, like some of the decisions that you would have to make as a 19-year-old that has a windfall of money, has the world as your oyster, that's probably, I would say he would probably be better off if his mother came with him. And, you know, it all depends on his family situation, whether or not she could do that. Mm-hmm. No, I would say no, right, not mature
so,
level.
So,
nah.
Yeah, so, but this is where I'm curious about, and there may be a difference. So there's, and this is why I'm just asking the question. There's a difference between doing that in football, and we see 19-year-olds in baseball, Soto, Acuna. We see 16 and 17-year-olds in soccer, Andrew Carlton and George Bello. I mean, forget 19, that's old. We see 15-year-olds in tennis. We see, you know, 17-year-olds in other sports, you know, basketball players who come out of high school who are ready and go right to the NBA. And that we know that
laundry
list.
But most of those kids stay with their parents, so their parents are like, they have like, don't they have like a, they have like, not mentors, but like their parents are with them. Because who was it? Colin Sexton, the guy that plays for the Cavaliers,
yeah,
young
from
man.
From Alabama, yeah.
It was funny. I'll never forget it. Me and my son going through the airport in Cleveland, and he knew who he was, and he was traveling with his parents in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I think of the NBA and young players like that, I'm assuming, I do not know, but I'm assuming his parents live with him in Cleveland. I think his parents are there with him in Cleveland because they were there with him in the airport. And it was really cool because my son ran up to him and he was, you know, taking pictures, and I'm like, oh, that's so cute. And his parents were like right there. And you could tell that this was a good kid because, like, his parents kind of told him, like, be gracious. Because little Hugh ran up to him and was like, oh, my gosh, Colin Sexton. I didn't know who he was. He was like, oh, my gosh. He was all geek. So, yeah, it was pretty funny.
Yeah, the pride of Pebblebrook High, Colin Sexton. There's another little story about this Justin Fields transfer and this waiver that you need to – there's part of the all of what's being talked about right now. And will he be granted the waiver because of the incident with a baseball player calling him the racial slur at the football game? And a lot of people believe that, because that's what he's basing his waiver on, is that he will be granted this waiver. And there are some people who say that this is a dangerous precedent. Now, I don't believe so, because I don't think there ought to be a waiver. I think players ought to be allowed to transfer without a waiver. But they're saying that this could end the waiver because of the fact that, you know, again, we're going to be going to a court to adjudicate this, to whether or not, or whatever NCAA court amounts to do this. And his attorney probably not going to take no for an answer. And so if he ends up getting a no, because his attorney sue, and if he goes to a court and the court throws the waiver out, we could be seeing open free agency in college athletics. Which, again, if it's open time for coaches, Mel Tucker didn't have to get a waiver to go to Colorado. Mike Loxley didn't need a waiver to go to Maryland. Jim Chaney didn't need a waiver to go to Tennessee. If coaches can improve their lot in life, why are we penalizing student athletes, punishing them from improving their lot?
Because they're not getting paid. Number one, they're not getting paid, but they are commodities. They're like cattle in this situation. They're like cattle. And, you know, if you want their prize steer or whatever, there's going to have to be a penalty for it. And that's the way that they're treating them.
Which is what I think, too, Hugh, and I think it's wrong. That's just my particular opinion. No other student has to ask for anybody's permission to go to any other school at any other time or a court's permission to do what they want to do. If you're a star chemist or a star trombone player or a star drama actor or whatever you are, star mathematician, you don't have to ask for permission. Oh, but it's different for the young athlete. Okay. Well, they bring in a lot of money. Yeah. The field hockey players, they bring in a ton, right? Come on, stop. They're just athletes. They should be able to go where. All right, I'll get off my high horse. I will say this. We're going to have a lot of fun at the Game Bowl. It's coming up January 26th at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs. It is the KAMU Game Bowl, and it is our paper football championship. Winner gets $1,000. Top four finishers all get prize money, but that's not – we want to invite you going, okay, they're going to play paper football, and I don't play paper football. But that doesn't matter. The entire station is going to be there on the 26th, and it's going to be a huge party. Okay, we're going to be there with bowling, and of course, we've got the bumper cars, the laser tag, the arcade games, everything that Stars and Strikes has there on Roswell Road in Sandy Springs. But also, you know, we're going to be having a huge party, and we invite all of you, everybody in Atlanta, to come join us on the 26th, because the KAMU is going to be flowing. It's going to be a lot of fun as we have our third annual Game Bowl this year. Now, the redubbed the KAMU Game Day Cognac Game Bowl. When we get back, we venture into that KAMU world of Hugh Douglas.
Yes. Well, I have some unfinished thoughts about a lot of stuff that we talked about this morning. We might dive back into this Bezos thing again. I don't know. And his wife. All on the other side of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode. So back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
Hugh's World has been brought to you by KAMU. KAMU, the game day cognac. Because every day is game day.
You know, I really like this segment. I just like this music. And the fact that it really evolves around stuff that has happened during the course of the day that I have a little bit more to say about, but I never get a chance to finish saying about it. But right now, I'm going to give the floor to Tanitra because she wants to give a shout out to somebody that looked out for her yesterday.
Yeah, so yesterday I was over at the Enterprise on Lawrenceville Highway a couple weeks ago, actually after, I think, our last game of the season, Falcons' last game of the season. I'm just coming home minding my business and somebody tags the back of my car. So I had to go pick up a rental yesterday and jumped in the car, and the first thing the guy, you know, turned on was the radio, listening to us. So I told him, hey, you know, thanks a lot for listening. He says, oh, I listen all the time. And the very next thing, do you know Hugh Douglas? Yes, yes, I do. So he was like, I love him. I listen all the time. And I said, okay, Mr. Joe, you treated me right. I appreciate you. I'll shout you out when I get back to the station. So shout out to Mr. Joe and the entire Enterprise crew.
Mr.
On
Joe
Lansville
and Enterprise.
Highway.
All right. Thank you very much. Yes. Thank you very much. But yeah, you know, it was some things that happened today during the show, John, that it had me kind of scratching my head a little bit. We were talking about Justin Fields and the fact that he's transferring to Ohio State and how he's in the portal and everything, and how his attorney is working this case for him. You know, the first thing I thought about, this young man has an attorney? I can't think of even having the fathom getting an attorney if I was in school. And to pay him. You know what I mean? That's the thing, because, I mean, this can't be achieving. I don't know his family situation, not saying that they don't have money or anything, but to get an attorney to work your business for you to transfer to another school,
right?
That is pretty interesting to me. Right. That's how this is big business. That's why this is big business. I said that's how, but I meant that's why. That's why college football is big business, John. And that's one of the main reasons why kids are commodities, and that's why they make it so hard for them to transfer, because they are commodities. When you strip back everything and you're talking about college football and why these kids aren't getting paid and everything, it's because they're a controllable commodity at this point in their lives. That's the main reason. Another thing that I want to talk about.
Before you go on, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
We were talking about this in the bullpen yesterday. I wonder, though, from a flip side, and maybe this is just me being like, I don't want to say paranoid, but just always thinking, what's that back end of that? I wonder if there's more to almost like a power play. Like, you know, Justin Fields wants to make sure that, hey, he gets that eligibility to play in 2019, and I'm going to put a little pressure on Georgia to say, now, how far do we want to go with this? You know, are you guys going to support me in this? Or am I going to have to,
a little,
you know,
bit of that, because I read
make
that.
A power move.
I read that in the story.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why I think that Coach Smart tried to placate him by allowing him to go on the game. Because I know John was stuck on that and was like wondering why he was able to do all of that. But that was one of the reasons why, because he was trying to placate him a little bit. But at the same time, you're in a position to win football games. And that's why it's going to be real interesting to see what happens at Ohio State when he gets there. If there's any flaws in his game, that's going to keep him off the field if he's that good. So it's going to be pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Another thing I want to talk about, this whole Freddie Kitchens, Greg Williams thing. And does anybody else find this kind of ironic that Greg Williams was named the interim coach?
Right.
But Freddie Kitchens gets the job. Does anybody else? Am I the only person in here that feels like Freddie Kitchens probably went in there and said, you know, I'm the real reason why Baker Mayfield, and Baker Mayfield really likes me? Does it feel a little bit like that?
He might be the defensive guru, but I'm the QB whisperer.
Yeah, and not only that, I don't know this for sure, and I'm not trying to put any shade on Baker Mayfield, but he has done some shady stuff. He's done some shady stuff. The way that he handled Hugh Jackson was kind of shady.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's your young quarterback, and if I'm the GM and I ask my young quarterback, who do you think should be the head coach? I could totally see Baker Mayfield saying Freddie Kitchens.
He would really be the new king of Cleveland.
Yes.
If that's the case. Because LeBron James, we probably felt, out of any athlete with any team in any league, had that kind of power. But if he was able to pull a boss move like this already.
But well, wait a minute. Aaron Rodgers pulled a boss move. Aaron Rodgers ran Mike McCarthy flat out of Green Bay.
After about what,
but
10
after
years,
like
though.
10 or 12 years in the league, but we're talking about a rookie being able to
That's
run a coach, a head coach out of the league, and then say, I don't want the DC, I want the OC to become my new coach. That's gangster. Just wow. If that's what happened.
Yeah, and that had me thinking. I'm like, wow, what if he did do that? Mm-hmm. I don't know this for sure. This is just me thinking outside the box.
Well, but here's the thing. If Greg Williams ends up somewhere next season as a defensive coach or a coordinator for another team, and he happens to be on the Cleveland Browns opponents list, Bounty Gate 2 might be back.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's the thing. He does have that hanging over him. There are a lot of people that wonder why Greg Williams is even coaching in the NFL. Well, he's allowed to coach in the NFL.
Yeah, and another story. You know, we were talking about Mackenzie Bezos this morning, and I made some comments saying that, you know, I didn't think she was that attractive.
All right, well,
Unforgettable P. Fire Burke just came back and said, well, why y'all acting like Jeff Bezos is the most attractive dude out there and act like he don't have a wonky eye?
And that's what I said.
Yeah. So I was like, you know, so women look at, like, that's not me. Like, I am not the only cat that look and see if women are attractive. So don't just try to put it on me like I'm a caveman. I admit it, I'm a caveman. But I ain't the only person.
So you're not the only creep?
The only cretin. Not creep so much, cretin. I take cretin over creeping all day long.
All right, so now, but Jeff Bezos looks a lot better when he's got $140 billion.
But see, this is the thing. Does
Mackenzie Bezos look better now with $70
billion? But see, this is the thing. This is the thing. And I know I'm going to get some pushback on this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Because I already went down that rabbit hole. A woman will date an ugly rich man. She will date an ugly rich man.
Right.
Not this one.
A rich man ain't going to date an ugly woman. That is not going to be. And whatever, like, listen, everybody's beautiful. In their own way. I want to put that out there because I don't want no more Pete for this. Everybody's beautiful in their own way. But all according to what your beauty requirements are, dudes will date, like, we'll date a beautiful girl that work at McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
Woman ain't going to do that unless he's a rich dude that owns about 5 McDonald's. She ain't going to do that. Yep. That's just how it is.
I'm amazed at how you're willing to be on that island by yourself.
Hey, listen, I'll walk out there by myself.
Wait, the last part of that? Oh, no, Arthur, he's not. I'm on that island. There's a phrase that is literally, you look better standing on your stacks.
I have to be attracted to a person. I don't really care how much money you make.
Most women I know, they're like, well, he's nice, and because we like to be taken care of, we like to make sure we're secure.
And that's not a bad thing.
And you know, we can learn to love. Men are like, she ain't cute.
But wait a second, Wendy. Let me explore that for a second. If a dude's been at McDonald's, he's still the fry cook after 15 years, even if he's really good.
Well, no, but that's the part about drive. I mean, you don't necessarily have to date somebody like super, super rich. I mean,
You want somebody that's going
to
have
You want someone
super,
who has
super
their stuff together.
Yeah, but if at 70, 60, 50, if we're secure in our lives and we could be on the Amalfi Coast versus 50.
I don't even know what that's at. Where's the Amalfi Coast? I don't know what that's at.
Look it up, good people. Google it. It's a beautiful thing to have. Aspirations, but no, I'd rather you be someone who's secure. Not even. I'd just rather you be secure and be able to take care of me and my family. And if you know you're not something to look at 50, 60, 70, but we're all good and we're secure, I'm good.
Yeah. Well, you just defined me. Thanks. All right. So Brian Billick, top of the hour here. We'll talk with Brian Billick about his thoughts about the NFL playoffs. And in the next hour, that'll be live next. Also in the next hour, live, Alex Anthopoulos, GM of the Braves. Stay tuned on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.